A new secretary at a local church was struggling to open the combination lock on a supply cabinet. She had been told the combination, but she couldn't quite remember all three of the numbers. Finally, she went into the pastor's study and asked him for help. The pastor came into the room and began to turn the dial, but after the first two numbers, he paused. He kind of stared blankly for a moment. Finally, he looked serenely up toward heaven, his lips moving silently. Then he looked back at the lock and quickly turned to the final number and opened the lock. The teacher was amazed. The secretary was amazed at what she thought was answered prayer. And she said, "I'm in awe of your faith, Pastor." He said, "It's really nothing. Combination number is written on a piece of tape up on the ceiling." And that's how he got the third number. There is a statement in James 5 and verse 16 that we're familiar with about prayer. James 5 and verse 16, in the context of anyone sick among you and asking for anointing, James 5, verse 16, we read this statement. It says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." And then it says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." It's an important statement to consider and ask, what did the Apostle James mean by those words? It's interesting that most translations and other translations and interlinears show that the word fervent is not actually supported by the Greek, is actually not part of that passage, but the words righteous and effective definitely are there. And the way the New International Version renders this verse or this statement, it says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Prayer of a righteous person, powerful and effective. How often do we think about that, brethren, that our prayers are powerful if they are effective? What is it in God's eyes that makes them powerful and effective? Of course, a good clue to that is in the statement itself. But I thought it would be profitable to take a little bit of time to analyze just what James meant by those words. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I would say that an effective prayer is a prayer that we know God hears. We want God to hear our prayers. And for us, that means a lot, to know that God is there, that God hears what we're crying out to Him about. And from this statement, we see that a vital key to the effectiveness of prayer, and thus to the power in our prayers, is the spiritual condition of the person who is offering the prayer. That is, that he or she is a righteous person. That's an important key to effective and powerful prayer. Notice what David wrote in Psalm 34 and verse 15. One of his psalms here in Psalm 34 and verse 15. We find this statement. We read, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry." Of course, the eyes of the Lord symbolize His care, His protection. It says His ears are open to the righteous when they cry out to Him or pray to Him. Verse 17 and 18, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit." So when the scriptures speak about God being near, it's really to assure us and comfort us as believers with a sense that God cares, that He hears us, and we're sure of that because we have a relationship that we've built with Him. David had that kind of relationship, and he was sure that God heard his prayers. and a great deal of comfort in that. So God being near, God's eyes are on the righteous, God hears. Again, all of that shows that God does care. The Bible also tells us that all human beings start out unrighteous, that is, as sinners. We're familiar with Romans 3, where it tells us that all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, all have sinned. But when a person comes to repentance, to having that broken, contrite, broken heart there in verse 18, and a contrite spirit, we know that God forgives. God forgives us and puts us on the path of righteousness. When we repent, when we have that kind of a heart, baptized, we receive God's Spirit, we begin down that path of righteousness. Proverbs 10 and verse 24, another statement that is encouraging. I find Proverbs 10 and verse 24 is this statement. And the entire context is interesting to read as far as what was going on or what it's about. But we find this statement, the fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. The desire of the righteous will be granted. That is, God responds in a positive way to the requests of the righteous. God sees those in a very positive light. So, what else does God's word reveal about righteousness? Since that's such an important key to effective, powerful prayer, what do we know about what God says about the subject of righteousness, or how to be considered by God righteous? A simple definition of godly righteousness is just doing what God says is right. Doing what God says is right. People look to all kinds of sources for the answer to what is right, what is the right thing to do, what is right, what is wrong. But, of course, we look to God to tell us, to explain to us what is right. So that's really a simple definition of righteousness, doing what God says is right. And as you know, there's a Psalm 119, that gives this definition of righteousness. Psalm 119 and verse 172. David wrote Psalm 19, 172, my tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. All of God's commandments and laws are righteousness. And why is that? Well, they're a product of God's mind. The commandments of God in the letter and in the spirit of the law reflect the nature of God. They reflect God's nature of love. And the commandments, among other things, reveal to us what God says is right. And they reveal, again, his nature. And they show us the right way to live. And so here they're called righteousness. And haven't we all learned in the years we've been in God's church, I know I've thought about this often, that even if there were no reward for living according to God's laws, even if we didn't have that reward of eternal life being held out for us, haven't we learned in our years in God's church that this way of life is simply a better way of living? Not just for the good fruit in this life. That this way of life, God's way, works best. And it's just a better way of living, even if there were no reward. God shows us through his commandments, through his laws, which reflect his mind, his nature of love, the right way to live as human being. And that's something I believe we've all come to appreciate and learn as far as understanding righteousness and what God says is right. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 6, because again, it shows what God desires, what God is looking for. Deuteronomy 6, this is something all of us are striving for, what we think about, we're trying to live, Deuteronomy 6. And here in verses 5 and 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, a part of us, inside of us. We've internalized them. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 6. And we find that this is something God has always desired, the heart. Deuteronomy 30 and in verse 6, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. All your soul or all your life, with our whole life, that we could live. And of course Christ says that came that we could enjoy life and live abundantly. And that's really what God wants for us. And that's the choice we've made in God's church, haven't we? It's the choice we've made to live this way of life, because it's a way that brings happiness, puts us on a path that lives according to what God says is right, which is what righteousness is all about. And then if you back up a little bit to Deuteronomy 10, why does God want this? Why does God want us to love Him with our heart, soul, might? Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12 and 13. Deuteronomy 10, 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep His commandments of the, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you today, for your good. Three important words, for our good. God's way of life, the way that is good. That's something, again, we believe, something we've learned. And it explains, help us to understand more about what righteousness really is, doing what God says is right, the right way to live. And there is something about doing that that helps to make our prayers more effective and gives our prayers power, because God respects those who live that way of life and choose to love Him with all of our heart and soul and might, to live His way of life. In 1 John chapter 5, what the Apostle John said about this subject, about our love for God and obedience to God. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. They are not burdensome. Isn't that what we've experienced, that obeying God's laws, that obedience is not a burden? That obeying God's laws actually lightens our burden, because it gives us direction and points us in the right path. And it lightens the burden. There are those who have tried to convince people that God's Ten Commandments are a burden. Keeping the Sabbath is a burden, but that's not been our experience, has it? My experience has been that it lightens our load in life. It lightens the burdens of life because it gives us answers, points us in the right direction. One of the important keys in praying is also to come to God with an attitude of humble obedience, part of righteousness. In 1 John 3 and verse 22, we back up a little bit, and there's this statement. 1 John 3 verse 22, whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. We humble ourselves and want to be pleasing in God's sight. And humble obedience is something that is pleasing to God. That's something we ask God for help in being that way. I think it's important to understand, because this question does come up, you know, from time to time. I think it's important to understand that God's ears are open not only to the prayers of the righteous, but also to those who want to be right in God's sight. Many who are searching, and many of them come find the right path, but those who want to be right in God's sight, who see that they're not living the way they should, and who deeply desire to change. We encounter many of those folks in writing letters, answering letters from PCD, who are searching. They realize that they're not happy with the way they're living their life. They really want to change. They're asking for help. Some of them make those changes. Others do not. But God hears those prayers, those who are searching for answers, searching for God, who could be led to repentance, and God may call them. Certainly God hears those prayers as well, because they're wanting to live as they learn more how to please God. So God clearly says that the prayers of a righteous person are effective and powerful. And I think it's important for all of us, when we are praying about various things, to realize again there is power. And our prayers are powerful. They are effective as we're trying to have that relationship with God, live the way He has directed us to live and instructs us to live. We'll come back to that principle of righteousness in a little bit. But here are a few additional principles that help us to have powerful and effective prayers. In our prayers, we try to be diligent in prayer and praying every day, but it's important to avoid having our prayers become just habitual, only habit. What do I mean by that? I mean, we want the habit of praying daily, and I write to people and say, you know, you want to draw closer to God, develop the habit of daily prayer. Develop the habit of daily Bible study. So we want to have that habit, the habit of coming to God, our Father, on our knees in prayer every day is important. That's something a righteous person will strive to do. But habit of daily prayer can become habitual. And what I mean by that it can almost become mindless. That it's our mind is no longer in gear. We're kind of on autopilot. That can happen in prayer sometimes. We begin to think and say the exact same things over and over, kind of a routine, instead of realizing we're in conversation with the Creator of the universe. We're in conversation with God, our Father. Now, certainly praying the same words over and over again can become vain repetition. That's what Jesus said. But, you know, we pray about certain circumstances and trials and people, the same ones every day, and we focus on them and we think about them. And those can be meaningful repetitions depending on if it's real conversation with God, even though we're praying about the same person or the same thing. But we're trying to have a meaningful conversation with God, and we may end up, you know, saying in a little different way, but we try to avoid just rote or routine words in our prayers, so that we're focused on the fact that this is real conversation with God. So one key, again, to effective, powerful prayer is that very thing, avoiding having our prayers become only habitual. Another key, and that is, if we've built a relationship with God, and we know we spend time building that relationship with God, obeying Him from the heart, spending time with God, we know that God hears our prayers and we can have confidence. So building a relationship with God over time, through the years in God's church, never backing away from that, but strengthening that relationship with God as we go through life, continue to build that relationship, is another one of those keys. We continually want to strengthen and build and grow in that relationship with God. Thus, we can know that God hears our prayers. We can have confidence in that because of our relationship with God. So, you know, annually at least, we examine, what is our relationship with God? How am I doing in my relationship with God? Is it stronger now this year than it was a year ago? Is it a better relationship than it was 5 years ago? Is it a stronger relationship? And as we go through life, however long we live, however many years we've been in God's church, we want that relationship to be getting stronger, to be building and growing in that relationship. Another principle of effectiveness and power in prayer is something we all struggle with because we're human and we have our limitations, and that is, we don't want to let our thoughts wander while we're in prayer, to wander up, go off in other directions. It sometimes happens to all of us, especially because most of us are not praying out loud. Sometimes we do. Maybe we have a private place we can pray and talk to God out loud and have that kind of conversation. Most of the time we're praying silently, praying mentally, praying in our mind. It's easy to begin thinking about other things. and letting our mind get off track. If we're not careful, things not related to what we're talking to God about. You know, I try to think of it this way. If we talk to people that way, the way that sometimes maybe we find ourselves talking to God, and, oh, we've got to bring our mind back and get back on what I was praying about. If we talk to people that way, you know, they would think, well, we're losing our focus and just aren't interested in the conversation. Well, maybe that's true, but certainly in our conversation with God, we don't want that to happen. We want our attention focused on what we're talking about when we're talking to God in prayer. Turn with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And in verse 26 and 27. John 16, verse 26 and 27. Christ said, "In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came forth from God." Again, there's no magical formula or words that make prayer effective and powerful. It has a lot to do, again, with our overall relationship with God and our focus on God, our loving God with our heart and soul and mind. But effective prayer does mean that we understand and believe that we're talking to our God and Father who loves us, who is concerned for us, who has interest in us and in our needs, whether we're praying for others or whether we're praying for somebody else. We know that there is a God who loves us and has concern and care for us. We're confident of that. Just like every part of the Christian life, prayer is a growth process. And most here have been growing in prayer for years or decades. And I hope that that's been your experience, that your prayer life, you've grown in that. And having real conversation with God, we continue to grow. And for those who are younger in the faith, it's important to realize, and we understand, and we've learned that God is loving and patient. We know that God wants to hear from us, and he will help us as we're determined to grow in righteousness and to be more effective in prayer. We know that God is there, and he is there to help us. In 1 John 2, again, we go to John's writings. 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5. First John 2, verse 1. "My little children," John writes, "these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation, or the sacrifice for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments." Again, we find this path of the right way to live and what God considers right includes his commandments, and we try to live by them. "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him." A righteous person has either begun to build a relationship with God based on love for God, knowing that God loves us, or has spent many years doing that very thing through obeying him, obeying his laws, living a life of obedience to him in both the letter and the spirit of the law. We've come to understand the importance of the spirit of the law, too, because, again, the Ten Commandments reflect the nature of God, the mind of God. And so the letter of God's commandments, the letter of God's law, describes what we are to do. That's what we do or don't do. And that's important. The spirit of God's commandments, God's laws, describe how God wants us to be, how God wants us to think, and how God wants us to be inside, what our heart is to be like. So on the one hand, we keep the letter of the law by doing or not doing certain things, but we also are concerned with the spirit of the law because that's how God wants us to be. The qualities of his nature that are described in the Ten Commandments. He wants us to have that same nature and to grow in that nature that he has. To be totally honest, trustworthy, dependable, etc., etc., that describes the nature of one who has Christ living in him. And so, you know, you take any one of the Ten Commandments. You know, the letter of the law says, do not steal. And so that's what we do not do. We would not steal from somebody. But the spirit of the law goes beyond that. Not only would we not steal, but out of love for our neighbor, we might even seek to protect what is his as much as in our power. If we see something that he has lost, we return it. We have a love for the person. And that comes from understanding the spirit of the law. Not only what we would not do to him, but what we would do for him. To reflect the nature of God. So God's commands come from his mind. They reveal to us his mind, his nature. And as we try to understand more and more of that nature and live according to the spirit of the law, those qualities of God's nature, we grow in righteousness and we come to know God better. I believe that all of us have come to know God better in the years we've been in God's church. That's our goal, to come to be more like God and Jesus Christ and to know God better. As a result, a person who has grown in righteousness knows that God hears and listens to his or her prayers. Because a righteous person truly knows God, God hears those prayers of those who are trying to live and walk on that path. A little boy was kneeling beside his bed with his mother and grandmother and softly saying his prayers. And his mother could hear him, dear God, please bless mommy and daddy and all the family and please give me a good night's sleep. Suddenly he looked up and he shouted. He said, and don't forget to give me a bicycle for my birthday. And his mother said, you know, there's no need to shout like that. God isn't deaf. No, said the little boy, but grandma is. So he felt he needed to shout out his prayer to be heard. Grandma was there beside him. Let's conclude in John chapter 11. John chapter 11. This is the account of Christ raising Lazarus from the grave. John chapter 11. Let's begin reading here in verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. Because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Those words in verse 42, and I know that you always hear me. God hears. God certainly heard Christ's prayers, and Jesus knew that. God's ears are open to the prayers of the righteous who are humbly seeking God's guidance, God's blessing, and God's help. So it is very true, something that we can be assured of, that the prayers of the righteous person being effective are also powerful.